The finale of the Know Your Foe series. Yep, it's the rodents from up north.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us, and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together for another midweek episode. Actually, the finale of our Know Your Foe series. Yep, Minnesota Golden Gophers, Justin. We've done seven of these now. This is our last one. We had to leave the Axe game for last. We're going to talk about that. And of course, next week, by the way, now that our Know Your Foe series ends and game weeks begin, we're going to be doing our Badger Blueprint episodes, which are our three big things that we will hit midweek every single week on Wednesdays, talking about the upcoming game, getting our game predictions. It's been a great countdown to kickoff. We've had fantastic content. Go back and look, watch our offensive preview, our defensive preview, our camp stock up, stock down, anything that you may have missed. Today is, of course, our Minnesota Know Your Foe, and we've got our season opener coming. We're heading to Green Bay. Titletown Brewing Company on Saturday, Stadium View on Sunday. Come hang out with us, get a beer with us. And of course, this weekend, our final show before the season, which is our official season preview and predictions. We're going to drop in our interview here that we did from Kurt.
Kurt from the SkyU Pod is joining us to talk about, yes, that team from the north, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the one all Badger fans love to hate.
Kurt, tell us first where people can find your work.
Yeah, we're SkyU Pod. We're available on every podcast platform you can find. We're SkyU Pod 1 on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it these days. And we're also on YouTube at SkyU Pod. So just mainly go for football content. We are all fans. It's from the fan perspective. I like to throw that out there so I can be a little bit more irrational in my hopes and aspirations for the season. But thanks for having me, Anna.
Yeah, same as us. Also a fan-driven podcast. So yes, we also can be irrational. And that's why I'm going to say we're going to get the Axe back and win a bunch of games this year. But we'll see. One of the teams that's actually in the Big Ten that's, we know who the quarterback is. Drake Lindsey's coming back. You've got a lot of returning people. Let's just kind of start with pulse of the fan base. Is everyone excited about this season? Obviously a pretty good season last year. And then year 10 of PJ Fleck, which we hate PJ Fleck, but I'm sure you like him. So what's the pulse of the Minnesota fan base heading into this season?
Yeah, I would say it's as we're getting closer, especially people are excited. You know, I think Vegas has their win total at about 6.5 wins. And I think the fans feel that's a little bit low. I love to shoot for the stars as well, but I'll admit that 8 wins most years for Minnesota is probably a good season. I will say, though, just with the consistency PJ's had, I think this is a year where people are hoping to get a little bit above that and maybe get closer to that 2019 season, but retain the Axe again, unlike that year. But I think fans are happy and excited for this upcoming season, but at the same time, hoping for a little bit more than what we've got the last two seasons.
Yeah, definitely. Drake Lindsey certainly had a pretty good season last year. I'm assuming you have high expectations for him. Talk a little bit about the offense and how's that kind of shaping up with some maybe key additions or some people that you lost?
Yeah, we got all of our main cast back outside of the tight end room. We did lose our top three tight ends, but Drake's got his four offensive linemen back from last year. Darius Taylor back in the backfield. That's always huge. As long as he stays healthy, he just adds a different element that we don't have elsewhere in that room. So our starters, we feel really good about. And then we added some guys in the receiver room, mainly Noah Jennings is the one that's really popping off. He's a transfer from Cincinnati. I know PJ gets excited and a lot of fans like to kind of give him crap about that, but he's comparing Noah Jennings to Rashad Bateman. That's very high praise. Rashad Bateman went in the first round a few years ago in the NFL draft, but we're feeling good about the receiver room. They also have a couple freshmen, Hayden Moore, in that room as well. And then we're returning receiver number 2 and receiver number 3 from last year's team. So I think we're feeling good about the pass catchers. It's just, can we figure out the right side of the offensive line? I think that was this team's main struggle last year offensively was we feel really good about our left tackle, Nathan Roy, left guard, Greg Johnson, and then we have Ashton Beers back as a fifth-year center, and he's healthy after being dinged up. It's just, can that right side get solidified and get a little bit more push for us in the run game to help out Drake?
Defensively, obviously, again, decent season. You're kind of up and down at times, but PJ Flex obviously been pretty high on, and you know, that kind of intense defensive style. How's that group looking? What's the strength of your defense?
Yeah, it's got to be the defensive ends. I mean, we return Anthony Smith, a guy that everybody thought was gone after his fourth year last year. He had 12 and a half sacks. I think he was projected to be a top 100 pick in the NFL draft. He really wanted to come back for one more season and just round out his game. So he comes back and is a guy that can play inside and outside. And then on top of that, we went out and got TJ Bush out of Cal, who was another effective pass rusher for them. I believe he led them in sacks last season. So added him to a room we're already returning. Carter Menz, who kind of came onto the scene last year. I believe he had 5.5 sacks in his first true season of getting some real playing time. And then we also have Jackson Howard. So we're four deep at the defensive end position, and we feel really good about that room.
And I, from what I've read, defensive tackle might be a bit of an issue for you. Are you confident in Minnesota's ability to stop the run with the guys up front?
Yeah, that's the big question. Losing both starting defensive tackles, and it's just the hardest to replace, I feel like, especially if you're not one of the top spenders or one of the top, you know, blue bloods. It's interior defensive line is just so tough to come by. So that's the one nice thing about Anthony Smith's flexibility is getting to move him inside if needed. But yeah, we lost our two starters. We do have a couple transfers. Nathan Crowder, is his name Nathan? I'll get used to all these new guys from the portal, but Crowder is from Marshall. He's like your stereotypical line him up over center and just run stopper. So we feel good about him. He's probably going to be out there in most, you know, short yardage and first and 10 situations when we expect teams to run. Then we got guys like Chapman out of FIU, who's a little bit smaller body type to get after the passer a little bit. So they brought in three transfer D tackles, and they have two back that played sparingly last year. So we'll see how that room shakes out. I would say, you know, last year our top two guys never came off the field. So the hope is that maybe these guys don't have the ceiling that those previous two guys had that left, but they might get rotated in and out more, which keeping them more fresh throughout the season. So it might kind of balance it out. And really, we just need them to help plug up that middle and stop the run, because that's been an issue for this team last year.
Yeah, I think it's Naquan Crowder is what I'm reading there.
Naquan. Thank you. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, 330 pounds. He's a big dude. So that's
yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And the defensive backfield, I know you've got John Nestor, and you've added a couple. You got a guy from Michigan State as well. How's your secondary looking? How's that group?
Yeah, it hurt at the start of the portal season losing Coy, right? Hometown kid. Had a really big impact his freshman year. Not the best year last year. He decided to move on. But the guys we do have back, we're really happy about. Kerry Brown is probably our best safety even last year on the team. He'll be back in that free safety role, just really a star at that level. And then Aiden West, the other transfer we brought in at corner, he's kind of sounds like solidifying that cornerback two spot opposite of Nestor. So he's a transfer from Michigan State, had a lot of offers out of high school. I know Ohio State and Michigan, I believe, offered him as well. It sounds like he's a more athletic, you know, peer coverage guy and getting compared to Eric Murray, who's had a long career in NFL. I know that's high praise, but I should say that's his projection is the hope he gets there. We're not expecting that year one as he's a true sophomore. But feeling good about the cornerback room, I would say behind those two, the depth gets a little questionable. So might not be the deepest corner room, but we do have a lot of bodies that we brought in that defensive back room via the portal. We got a Division II guy, Knutson, who had a couple picks in the spring game. I don't know how much you want to read into that, but I think he'll get rotated in. We also got Gooseby back as well at the other safety spot. So they got a lot of bodies that they like there. But we felt good about that room last year as well. And the pass coverage was just so up and down and a lot of busted coverages. So I think the biggest question mark might be if we got the right coordinator in place there, but feeling pretty good about the guys in that room.
How are you feeling about the battle for the axe this year? Do you feel like, is that, I mean, what's your kind of take on how you see Wisconsin from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's always going to be a battle. I've lived through and have Wisconsin relatives, so they're never going to let me forget the, what was it, 13 in a row, 14 in a row. It was a long time. I didn't know the axe was ever going to come back. So I'm never taking that one for granted. It's going to be a hard fought game. I seriously just don't know. I'm more curious for your thoughts. Like, what would have to happen for Fickell to like not be there? Or do you think he's there no matter what kind of start they're off to? Because that's just where I go to. Like, and I know you guys got, I'm blanking on his name, but the quarterback that you guys are
Colton Joseph.
From,
yeah.
Yes, Joseph. Out of Old Dominion?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. And I have no doubt he's a playmaker. I've seen the highlights. He looks good. But, and then I just think about Wisconsin's quarterback injury history under Fickell, too. And if you're gonna run him a lot, it's just different running in the Big Ten versus at Old Dominion. So, those are just what come to my head, probably making me feel better about that game, but it's going to be a dogfight. I expect it to be a 50-50 toss-up game. I've heard from a lot of Wisconsin fans how much you guys have spent in the portal this offseason. We'll see. I mean, that's obviously good. You want money to come into the program, but there's always a premium on those players in the portal, in my opinion. Not that they're not good. Obviously, you can get good players out of the portal. But yeah, it's just, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just curious to see how it plays out. I'm expecting it to be a dogfight.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously did invest in the program. This is the best roster that Luke Fickell has ever had. And we've had three, he's been here for 3 years. We've had three quarterback injuries. So like, hopefully we actually can keep Colton Joseph upright this year. And yes, running the ball is going to be an issue. I think it's going to, we have a bye week after week five. And if we're, you know, if we lose to Michigan State, we're 2-3 potentially at that point. The murmurs will happen. That's a big win. We gotta get that victory. Obviously, we're playing Notre Dame and Penn State before that. We're not going to beat those teams. We could, but we're not going to beat Notre Dame for sure. But I think ultimately, it's these trophy games matter for us. I mean, obviously, the axe, having lost that last year again, was just, it's brutal, and we got just trucked by Iowa last year. So he's got to do better in the rivalry games first and foremost. But I mean, this has kind of been saying 6-7 wins, otherwise he's got to go. And the schedule's much easier this year. We did have a really good end of the season last year, other than the axe game. We beat Illinois, beat Washington. So hopefully, I think that's there. But we invested in Luke Fickell, and the athletic director was very clear. We're staying with Luke Fickell. So I do think he's going to get the year pretty much irregardless, unless the wheels just fall off completely, sure, which given the roster that we have, I don't really see that happening. So we're kind of thinking like, 7 wins. I'm curious what your take is on Minnesota's floor, ceiling, and then kind of where you feel like the record lands.
Yeah. I always have a tough time predicting floor, because if injuries hit us like they could, I mean, if Drake Lindsay goes down, we're going to have some real problems to figure that out. But say most of the guys are relatively healthy most of the year, I have a tough time seeing us not getting to at least 6 wins. And I know we could hit 5 potentially, but I just think there's enough 50-50 games in there. You know, when I look at games against Northwestern, we have Purdue, you know, at Washington's going to be really tough. I'm not counting that one as a win, but, and then we got games, Wisconsin. And then with our non-conference schedule, I know Mississippi State, we're actually an underdog, I think, right now to Mississippi State. I'm not saying it won't be tough, but we do have them at home. I just would be surprised if we don't get to 6. I'll say 5, though, just because injuries can happen. So I would say the floor is 5 wins. Ceiling, I'll go 9. Like, everything to break. I mean, we got Michigan. We got Indiana. We're at Washington. We haven't beaten Iowa. We beat them once in PJ's time here, and this is going to be his 10th year. So it's getting pretty depressing to see them on the schedule that year in, year out. But, yeah, so I'll say the ceiling, if everything goes right, is probably 9-3 this year. And my prediction, so we did do a prediction pod, and I had written down pre-show 7-5, but then talking about it with my guys, I got amped up enough to go 8-4. So that's kind of a cop-out. I'll stick with the 8-4 prediction, a good year for the Gophers. But I think the smart money might be about 7-5 for this squad.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what we're hoping for us too. 7-5, maybe 8-4. The schedule lines up pretty well for us, other than we've got Notre Dame, of course, which is a non-con.
Yeah.
Penn State, USC, and at Iowa. And of course, we host the Gophers. The other ones we should be able to get. So
sure,
we'll see. But obviously, we take nothing for granted with Luke Fickell and everything that this program has been through. But obviously, from our perspective, we got to get back to beating Minnesota, because nothing pleases us more and nothing causes us more strife than losing that axe to the, as I say, the rodents from up north. But, you know,
the feeling's mutual. It's okay. Yeah, I get it.
Totally. Kerr from the Sky U Pod, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you coming on the Bucky Report.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks again to Kurt. Justin, Minnesota, interesting team. PJ Fleck, we don't like him. We all know this. They bring back Drake Lindsey. They bring back Darius Taylor. They've got some key elements on offense. Not quite the line, though, but key elements on offense. Where's your head at about this Minnesota game right now?
I think it's an interesting game. What I will say is I think there's a lot of like press coming out about Lindsey and stuff like that. And I wasn't overly impressed with him in our game against him last year. I thought he was effectively a check down artist the whole game. I realized the weather wasn't great, but he really didn't take many shots downfield. And I don't know how much of that was him, how much of that was the lack of quality receivers, that they didn't have anybody that could separate. I feel more confident coming into this year, given the influx of depth and talent that we've had. I feel better about our cornerback room. I think that room is going to be much, much better than last year, especially athletically. And I feel far better about our defensive line in terms of like what the overall depth is there and being able to go heavy and just making Minnesota very one-dimensional if need be. And if that's the case, I expect those linebackers to tee off.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be excited about this game when you look at our defense, just from the simple fact of we've got Post, we've got Catalano, we've got a much improved secondary, like you just touched on. Like, Drake Lindsey's a good quarterback, and Minnesota's one of those teams that does return their starting quarterback. He had a really good freshman season. Like, he's going to be above average, I think. But you're right. Ultimately, it's our defense that's going to be the difference maker here. He also mentioned, Kurt mentioned the right side of the offensive line as an issue. Well, that just means that guys like Fearbury or Clayton or whoever could potentially tee off there. And I think we're so confident in our overall defensive identity that we should be able to fluster them. And on the flip side of the ball, the issue, they according to, and we heard this from Kurt, he loves the pass rush, but he says the defensive tackles are an issue. Now, they did get a couple good transfers in, but I mean, you're going to leave the defensive tackles that's going to be a problem. You know what Jeff Grimes is going to do. And that means Abu Sama right up the gut. We're going to do that. Now, they've got playmakers on their defense, but I would like to think that with a mobile quarterback, with a playing against the defensive front, which again, a lot of the defensive fronts in the conference are really good. This one is probably not. That's got to be one we can take advantage of. Not to mention, Justin, this game sits, of course, the very end of the season, as it always does. And it sits kind of after a string of poor opponents for us, where we could be potentially looking at a three-game winning streak coming into this game. There's a lot of momentum here. And I think that, nothing about Minnesota scares me other than Drake Lindsey and Darius Taylor. However, we've got a pretty good defense.
So the other thing, and I brought this up to you before we came on, Minnesota had a very impressive pass rush or sack total last year coming into it. And I had brought that up last season that I wasn't overly impressed with it and that I felt like it was very lopsided in terms of where it happened. And as I brought up to you, the bulk of their sack totals in the Big Ten were against Michigan State, Rutgers, and Nebraska. And in the other six games in the Big Ten, they had a total of 5 sacks in 6 games. So while they teed off on a couple of bad teams in the Big Ten, Nebraska, I mean, we can parse words there. They probably don't deserve bad, but they had some injuries that definitely didn't help them. they are very inconsistent as a pass rushing team. And because of that, if the offensive line can is, and by this point, I think actually will probably have grown together quite a bit. I feel pretty good about going into a game like this. I'm not saying that we're going to get a shutout, because I definitely don't think that will be the case. But I think you have an extremely mobile quarterback, and I think you have an offensive line that I think by that point in the season should hopefully have gelled and be pretty darn good. And I'm not sure I like trust that their defensive line is going to be world beaters. I think they'll be solid, but I don't have this fear in my head that they're going to come out there and suddenly have five sacks against us. They might get one or two. You just have to hope it's not in a big moment in the game where it's a, you know, it costs you points.
How many times did they sack us last year? Do you know? One time. Okay. And you know, you're right about the fact that we have a mobile quarterback now. So if they're going to be inconsistent with their pass rush, and I will give you credit. You did say this last year, you brought this up even before the Minnesota game. You're like, I'm not worried about their pass rush. And that's fair. And you've definitely been right about that. But ultimately we're in a better situation, right? We had Carter Smith last year. So yeah. Now we're talking about Colton Joseph and, or at that time of the season, who knows, Deuce Adams or Ryan Hopkins, but either way, the quarterback room is a better spot. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, albeit not exactly fantastic, way better spot than it was last year. Right.
Absolutely.
Not and if close. if it's gelling, then we should be in a good spot to take advantage of Minnesota. The game, then the season, it is at home. It is a Black Friday. How important do you, I mean, look, do you, I know we talk about this a lot, but how important ultimately do you think this is for Luke Fickell? Like, he has to get this done, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think that if you go 7-5 somehow this year and you have a loss to Minnesota and Iowa, I think that if you're Ike Horst, you have to legitimately take a look at it and say, listen, you had a schedule that you had all the opportunity in the world to take advantage of, and neither of those teams, I think, are top shelf Big Ten teams this year. Iowa's lost a ton of experience coming into this year and will likely require a lot of time to gel with what they have. And their quarterback is not expected to be, regardless of which one that it ends up being, isn't expected to be anything crazy. So you're basically facing a one-dimensional Iowa team and then a Minnesota team that I think has some pieces, but isn't necessarily a team that you view as complete. If you can't get it done against this, I'm sorry. I think you have to move on. Because I don't think either one of those teams this year is a team that you have to look at and be like, if you have a good roster, you can't, that you should be comfortable losing these games to.
I think Iowa, I disagree a little bit on Iowa. I think Iowa's going to be pretty good. But either way, it's on the road, which I'm never going to give crap to a coach that can't win at Kinnick Stadium when the best teams in the country can't win there a lot of times. That's a thing, man. Like, well, it does matter.
So what I'll say is you've used up your passes.
Okay.
And that's how I look at it. Like, I'm sorry, you dug this hole for yourself. Now you have to go out there and win some of these games. Like, losing it, like, you don't get to play the, well, it was an away game or whatever anymore at this point in time. Like, you have put yourself in this situation where in another year you probably would have gotten the pass. Now that's gone. You no longer have that opportunity to sit, to fall on that and be like, well, this happened or we had injuries or whatever. Everybody's got stuff going on their team. You have got to prove that you can get this stuff done.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, I think the Iowa game is going to be difficult, and it ultimately how we play in it matters too, because I mean, hello, we can't get dumped again, but Minnesota, that to me is a line that we can't lose the axe again. It's a home game in Madison at the end of the season, rivalry day. It's his fourth, at the end of his fourth season as head coach. Like, come on, man. You need to get this axe back. It's been gone for 2 years now. I want to be able to put that up in my background at my home office. And I just want to
make for a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, like, just celebrate that a little bit. Yeah, I've got an axe ornament that I only put on my tree after we win too. So there's that. I want to have that too. But I think ultimately, like, that's a game we have to win. And I know when you look at the schedule and you can say, okay, like, and listen, we're going to parse this all up. We're going to do a full schedule breakdown on Sunday's show where we're going to talk about every game and make our final predictions. But when you look at the end of the season, you got the Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue, Minnesota. It's four wins. We should absolutely be getting there. And if it has three wins in it and you lose to Minnesota, it's just going to leave that awful sour taste in our mouth, man. And we can't have that. This is a must win as far as I'm concerned for Luke Fickell. This is a must win game.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think you can, I would give them a pass on Iowa if they somehow lose it because it's an away game. But my point was, I don't think you can lose them both. Like, you can't afford to have both of these slide through the cracks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Definitely. All right, we'll be back on Sunday again live. We've got some special guests. We've got Ryan Herrings. We've got Kevin Brown. We've got Nick Osen. We'll be kind of bringing those guys on. We're going to do our full predictions, all kinds of stuff, superlatives, all kinds of fun stuff to really be ready for kickoff. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.